Good morning. Thank you for joining us on the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton with you here from Bible Baptist Church in Lupton, Michigan. Our church is located on the east side of the road when you come into Lupton, so that no matter which way you come in, you can find us. Service times, 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, 6 o'clock the evening service, and midweek is on Thursday at 7 o'clock. We have a teen time on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and then we have a youth time for the younger youth on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. New message today, and it's entitled Wasted, and I'm not going to make any comments because I'll be preaching my message, but you'll see the connection. Psalm 137, verse, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm not sure how many I read there, but several verses, it's a short psalm, and I know it'll be a blessing to you, the psalm, it will be, make you see God's been gracious to you. The song. Before we get into the message, I gave my life for thee. Good song. I hope you listen carefully to the song. And it's a challenging thing because it asks a question. After it makes a statement, it asks a question. So listen carefully. Thank you once again for joining me here on the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton saying thank you so much. Listen to our announcer at the end of the program. Copy down the information. Drop us a note in the mail and let us know that you listen. We thank you for those who've done that over the period of time. And it's greatly appreciated. All right, no further ado from me. Let's get right into the song. I gave my life for thee, into the message, first part, and then the closing, our announcer, with some information on how to get a hold of us.
Down from my home. Psalm 137. We're just going to read a couple, three verses here. Verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And you can try that one in your grammar checker and see how that reads. Okay. One thing about it, when we get to heaven, I've got to find the person who's going to correct God's English. That's the person I want. That'd be interesting, won't it? Say, Lord, you know, you just don't hang to nothing. You hung it. Lord said, fortunately for you, I didn't hang you. But anyway. For there are they that carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us, required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Let's pray. Lord, we certainly need some help today. Not only can this preacher not preach, but these people can't understand without some help from the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking for help for both the preacher and the people. And then I'm asking for every soul to be searched, mine included, for every sin to be laid out and taken care of. If there should happen to be someone here today that's not born again, this would be the day of their new birth. For those who are absent from among us today because of sickness or maybe still on vacation to families over the holidays, would you please help them, encourage them, and if they are traveling, give them safety, we pray. Your blessing upon this message is much needed, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. In verse 3, there is a word that I want us to look at today. The people of Israel had been taken into Babylon, as the verse first tells you, and they were held captive there. And they had taken, as it were, their instruments and hung them in the willows. And then their captives taunted them by saying, sing us one of your songs. And I'll just be honest with you, the world doesn't think much of your music, okay? They don't think much of your hymns. They don't think much of your special music. And but the writer of the psalm, whomever it is, said this, and they that wasted us. Look at that word, wasted. Isn't that an interesting word? What did he mean, they wasted us? What was inferred here? Waste can mean several things. We understand waste means like a residue, what's left over from dinner. It can imply that something has been destroyed or devastated. We say, boy, they wasted that thing. Kind of like, you know, a Thanksgiving table after you've had your family around it. It can also infer something that has worn away or been consumed gradually. So, boy, that wasted away. It can also mean to make weak or feeble. We might say he wasted his energy in doing something, whatever it was he did. We might imply that whatsoever he did serves no purpose, so he wasted his energy. We know from the gangster type movies that they're going to waste somebody, they're going to kill them. In application to land, it means a place uninhabited or uncultivated, a desert, a wild, barren place. Kind of one of those English words that's going to depend upon the context before you understand what it means. The world has taken this word, and I'm sure most of you know where I'm headed with this thing. The world has taken this word and used it to describe a condition one gets themselves into by wicked debauchery and drunkenness. And they'll say, boy, I got wasted this past weekend. I'm sure it could go on with the not only the definitions in the dictionary, but the definitions that have been applied to this word, wasted. So he says, and they that wasted us. You wonder how you could waste somebody. As I contemplated this word, I kind of looked through the Bible to see how it was used in various places, and I come I lost myself there, didn't I? Yeah. I'm going to waste this mic. And I come across some interesting definitions, if I will, scripturally, of how the word wasted is used. Not only that, if nothing else, I twisted the verse around and made it say what I wanted to say, but in all seriousness, as I read some of the verses with that word in, I thought, what a principle is being described here. What can be learned as a Christian? What can I learn from this passage of Scripture? Please turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And we'll look at chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, and let's look at verse 3. Nehemiah is giving an answer to the king who's asked why he looks like he's sick. Your countenance is not what it ought to be. He said, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Let's look at that statement. Think about that a minute. I ask you this question. Have you ever been sad over the wasted standards of the church?
None.
When Nehemiah heard about what was going on, and he got a look at it, he thought, that is terrible how everything is wasted here. You know, once Jerusalem was a city that spoke great things for the king, and now it was burnt with fire and broken down, and the gates weren't there anymore. And it saddened him as he looked at it. You know, I come up in an age where standards, well, they were different. I come up where people now laugh at what we used to believe. We called them, I guess we'll call them landmarks. They were the thing that marked out what we were. They were the things that identified us as to who we were. Now, if you're a Duke fan, and if you're not, well, I believe there's a verse in Scripture that says you won't get to heaven, but just you might want to check it out. But if you happen to watch the Duke game tonight, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see blue faces. Blue chests on the men. We hope that's as far as it goes. And you'll see all kinds of crazies, they call them the crazies, going on.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to see all kinds of that stuff. And I'm telling you right now, it won't be hard for you to identify the Duke fan. I mean, there are trademarks that will identify them. And then that really kind of probably goes for any team, really. There are trademarks, there are marks that you no question, you know who they are. Okay? Servicemen, guys who have been in the service, and if they have any bearing toward it, will oftentimes get a hat that says Army on it or Air Force, or they'll get a jacket like I have and it has on there. Why? It's just a mark. It just marks. And it identifies you as to what you stand for. And the church, the body of Christ, not the church building, the local church used to have marks about it. People wouldn't have a hard time knowing what you were. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of standards, and I'll use that word if you will. There were a lot of standards that people had one day, and you knew they were holiness by their standards. Now that stuff's laughed at. They must go to. And because we who once bore the standards have abandoned them because they identified us. Okay? I mean, it's not hard for you to identify a gang member, or not hard to identify a motorcycle dude, you know. He'll usually have some kind of a scarf over his head, but over there, and has some kind of a bandana on it. And, you know, he'll have tattoos on his face or something. He'll hi, Steve. he'll have something. No, in all seriousness, I'm not picking on him, but in all seriousness, those kind of things, if he goes somewhere, they'll think he's a part of something. Yeah. We hope it's not here, but he'll be a part of something. And I'm not finding at him. I'm just simply saying those are identifying marks. Okay? And it ought to sadden us to realize that we no longer have things that identify us. We have melted ourselves into the world. Okay? People no longer want to look different except unless that difference is worldly. They no longer want to look different to be Christian. They no longer want, and you know, you think I'm going to preach on your dress, don't you? I just did, and it bothered you. Because you knew I was coming there. Some of you, you already, here he goes. He goes on my britches. I didn't see. No, I've just mentioned the word, but I didn't preach on it. Okay? It's probably your bikini that bothers me more. But anyways, consider, if you will, for a minute, what we used to consider sin. Maybe in the holiness cross, maybe we went overboard. Okay? Maybe we went a little bit over, but I would call it a safety zone. We were really concerned that we didn't do something that displeased God. And now we think God is not displeased with anything we do. He just has to get used to it. And as Nehemiah was saddened by what he saw, we ought to be saddened as we look over, if you will, the last bastion of orthodoxy. The last thing that makes any sense in America has got to be true biblical Christianity. It's the last thing. Everything else is gone. I mean, there was a time even in the secular world where some things were sensible. They had some foundation. Not anymore. And the Bible says that when the king looked at Nehemiah, he said, "Why is your countenance sad? What is the problem? Are you sick?" And then he explained to him, "King, I saw my city. I saw the place where I've lived, and the gates are burned, and the place has fallen down, and it saddens me that it's in such a waste." Turn to Proverbs 22 a minute. Proverbs 22. I'm not picking at you, or not picking on you. Maybe I'm picking at you, but I'm not picking on you. I want you to understand something, that we got to quit listening to the liberals. We got to quit getting our idea of what's right and wrong from the liberals. And we got to understand that what God believes was wrong is still wrong. What God believed was sin is still sin. Okay? And me redefining it doesn't make it any less. It may appear to people that it's less, but it doesn't make it any less. It's not any more that when we get to heaven, God say, "Well, what century did you live in?" "Oh, okay, well, then that wasn't so bad." Did you notice that the Ten Commandments haven't really changed? When you get to the New Testament, there's still the Ten Commandments. Okay? And so God, you may change things, but God doesn't change them. And we've all said that. We've said it 100 times, and I'll say it, this is 101st. Yeah, wow. First day of the year, first Sunday of the year, you guys are really just about as dry as you were the last Sunday of last year. But anyways, redefining what sin is and making sin something less than what we want, it doesn't make it less. It just makes you feel better. But it's still sin. It's still wrong. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 28. "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Well, here's the thing. Were my fathers right? Don't answer the question. I'm asking. Here's what goes on. Well, that doesn't mean it was right just because that's what they believed. It doesn't. Maybe where our problem lies is that our forefathers just took God literally at what he said. And maybe we've got so much Greek and Hebrew interpretation that we really don't know what anything means anymore. And maybe if we just went back to the plain old English, we hanged our harps. Maybe we just went back to the plain old won't work in the computer English grammar checker. Maybe we just went back to what God said. We'd find out that the same thing that was a sin 50 years ago and 60 years ago and so is still a sin today. And what was wrong 70 years ago is still wrong today. People say, well, styles are different. Who made them different? God didn't make them different. Say, well, we just don't do the things the way we used to. Well, who quit doing them that way? It ought to sadden you when you realize, I told a preacher the other day, I was writing him a note, and I said, what saddened me is that we preached for ages that this period was coming, but we never thought we would get into it. We just didn't think we would ever become Laodicean. I said, and yet, not only do I see it sometimes in my own life, but I see it in my church. Why? Brethren, it's pretty hard to escape what goes on around you day by day. You're influenced by the news. You're influenced by the traditions that take place. You're influenced by the decisions made in West Branch, Lansing, Washington, D.C., wherever. You're influenced by them. You can't help it because you say, well, guess we'll have to change what we do there. Never mind. You weren't ready for that one anyway. Did I miss a page? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll make it up tonight. 1 Kings. So, Nehemiah said Jerusalem was wasted, and it saddened him. So I ask you, are you sad over the wasted standards of your church, the body of Christ? Does it bother you sometimes when you realize that people that you know, do you know that from one generation to the next, we keep going down and down and down instead of up? Amen. Brethren, some of you haven't been here. I've been here the whole time. I've been here when there was only four people on Sunday morning. I've been here when Sunday nights was 75% of Sunday morning service. And now I look out here and we're fortunate. Can I use that word? We're fortunate if we've got 50%. I've seen the time when we would have that probably 70% and maybe 80% on a Thursday night. Wow, we'd be doing well if we could hit 40. You say, what? I just see us going down and down and down. Because it doesn't matter to many. Whether I'm here, whether I'm not, the church will go on. And they want the church to be here, and they surely want it when they need it, but they're just not going to involve themselves 100% into it.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.